I'm Bruce Edwards, and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. With all the talk of robots and artificial intelligence replacing people, one would expect we're becoming more productive. But in reality, productivity is down. In this program, we look into the so-called productivity paradox with Google's chief economist.
Right now, the labor force is growing about half the rate of the population, and all those baby boomers who are retiring firmly believe that they should continue to consume. So if we don't have a productivity boost from technology, we're in real trouble.
My name is Hal Varian. I'm the chief economist at Google and an emeritus professor at UC Berkeley.
The labor force 30 years from now will look very different. As working-age populations in many countries, especially in advanced economies, start to shrink. While some workers today worry they will lose their jobs to automation, economists are wondering if technology will boost productivity enough to compensate for the shifting demographics. That was the topic of a panel discussion at the IMF World Bank Spring Meetings earlier this month. And that's where I met Hal Varian. So we hear a lot about how technology is making us more productive, but economists aren't seeing this productivity. How would you explain this? The so-called productivity paradox.
Right. So I would say there are three forces that at work. I mean, at least three. One of these is the investment hangover from the recession, that companies have been slow to reestablish their previous levels of investment. Second issue has been the diffusion of technology. If you look at the gap between some of the more advanced companies and less advanced companies, that's increased over the last few years. And then the third point is measurement issues, where I think the existing metrics are facing some strains in terms of adapting to the new economy.
Do you think that we should be looking at a different way of measuring the economy? I mean, it looks like GDP isn't capturing a lot of things that are happening in the economy.
Well, that's an excellent point. I would say that GDP itself, as classically defined, is a useful and relevant concept. It is facing problems in terms of issues like where exactly something is produced, what happens when the software is produced in the U.S. and the hardware is produced in Japan, how do you actually split credit for that production? I think this is global supply chain issues are quite significant these days. But then the second issue is, are the metrics really measuring welfare? And every economist say, no, GDP is not supposed to measure welfare. We're in great agreement on that. But somehow that agreement lapses when we move into the popular press and a lot of the policymaking arena.
So one of the discussants in the panel on productivity was Harvard University's David Canning. His research focuses mostly on demographics and health, and he had some strong views on GDP and welfare.
Yeah, so I'd just like to start by saying that I worry a little bit about a focus on productivity in the sense of maximizing GDP. I think that human welfare is much broader than income. I've seen a paper by economists arguing we should have no children, because if you have children, your GDP per capita in your household is lower. And that is certainly true. But we like children, even though we don't buy and sell them. If you look at the last 100 years, about half of the improvement in human welfare has come because we have more things, we're richer. But the other half is because we live longer and are healthy for longer.
Do you think that we need a productivity boost given the demographics?
Absolutely. If you look at the demographics, we have lived through this period of the baby boom being educated, going to work, joining the labor force, and now retiring. And it's had a huge effect on the economy. It's just relatively slow moving, so we don't necessarily notice it. The baby boomers reached the labor force grew at its most rapid pace during the 70s, which are not great times for labor. And you think about it from Econ 101 perspective, you've had a large increase in people coming onto the job market. You saw increased unemployment, as one would expect. And then things kind of straightened out in the 80s. And in the 90s, we had this period of productivity growth when the baby boomers are really at peak production in terms of their careers. And now the baby boomers are all retiring, and they expect to continue consuming. And what followed the baby boom was the baby bust. So the size of the labor force, the working labor force, is growing at less than half of the rate of population growth. So it's a real issue in terms of how to make the amount produced equal to the amount that people want to consume.
And data is extremely important for Google. Yet, you know, the countries that have the fastest growing populations also have like the most outdated and unreliable data. Is it getting easier to collect and compile data, and how much of a challenge is that for Google?
I think it's getting easier to collect and compile data if the will is there. So the question is, if the will is lacking, you're not going to have the data that you really need or you really want. And part of that is because mobile phones, for example, are data collecting engines. And you can look at movements, you can look at use, you can look at all sorts of measures of activity through these new devices. So I think we certainly could, as a world, we could do much better data collecting than we have up until now. It's just a question of recognizing the value of that data collection and actually implementing it.
And do you think? Well, I assume that it's much more difficult to collect data in developing countries than it is in advanced economies.
Well, yes and no. I mean, one of the things is there are fewer regulatory barriers in developing countries, and that makes it a lot easier to do experimentation. So let me give you an example of a company I've worked with called Premise. And what they do is they do on-demand data collection. So if you want to know the price of pork in Shanghai, you send an email to Premise. They send a dozen or two dozen college students out on the street with their mobile phones. They go to grocery stores. They go to the meat cabinet, and they photograph the pork. And they get the picture date-stamped, time-stamped, uploaded to the cloud, OCR'd, and the next day you have 200 or 300 data points on the price of pork in Shanghai. So you can do this kind of thing anywhere because the mobile phone is really giving you this authoritative information at a particular place, at a particular time, that can be analyzed by computers.
What region or country do you think offers the greatest potential for a dramatic boost in productivity in the coming years?
Well, when you look at the advanced countries, and let's take the prime examples of Japan, China, Korea, Germany, Italy, these countries are all seeing population declines. And what that means is that we're going to expect to see them automating to a greater degree, and we would expect to see productivity increase in these countries. Now, switch gears and look at countries that have growing populations, countries like Nigeria or countries like India. It may well be that they take on a much larger role in production by utilizing some of these advanced technologies developed in the countries I alluded to earlier.
Yes, and again, Harvard's David Canning had some opinions as to where that's most likely going to happen.
Yeah, so it's a hard question how we increase productivity.
Thank you.
And I think the easiest place to start is Africa, because that's got the lowest productivity. And I think the next century is going to be the African century. Maybe this is the Asian century. But towards the end of the century, there's going to be over 1 billion people in Africa. And I see Africa really poised to take off and have enormous productivity growth by moving into the global marketplace and being the workbench of the world. Africa now looks very like Asia in the 1970s. And so I think getting Africa to work is really important for world productivity.
So I think we're seeing a very interesting time in the world where a lot of our preconceptions, a lot of our expectations are going to shift because of this demographic and technological forces.
So what would you say to, these 40 and 50-year-olds that are worried that, they're going to lose their job to a robot?
Yes. Well, I would say, first of all, diffusion is always slower than we think. There's a saying in Silicon Valley that says we overestimate what can happen in 2 years and we underestimate what can happen in 10 years. I think this has been shown to be true time and time again. So what the 40 and 50-year-olds should be doing is to continue to learn. Lifetime learning is the norm now. The expectation should be that you will learn a number of additional skills and capabilities after you graduate from high school or college, and get used to it.
That was Google's chief economist, Hal Varian, talking about productivity in the age of fewer and older workers. You also heard David Canning, professor of population sciences, economics, and international health at Harvard University. You can watch the webcast of the panel discussion held during the 2017 IMF World Bank Spring Meetings at imf.org. If you like this podcast, subscribe on iTunes or on your favorite podcast app. Just search for IMF Podcasts.